What you working on?
I am going to sketch some of the characters in this bar scene.
Cool.
Do some character designs. And I decided when I make these character designs, it might be real sketchy. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of...
You chose poorly-ish?
Kind of. You know, that was by hand, but, you know, like this is one of Mike's.
Cool. That's a Dragonborn.
Yeah, it's Dunar from C-Team.
Yeah.
But it's a, you know, loose sketch thing, but if I do it on here, I can throw it up and make a new folder in the Fodder Inc.
Mm-hmm.
folder called Sketches that if you want to throw on Instagram or whatnot.
Cool.
And if you...
Because he has said that he wants to give you more Instagram fodder.
That'd be great.
But if you have...
I'm going to need you for some photos next week.
Not a problem.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
that might be problematic if we're doing the D&D.
We'll figure something
out. Okay.
So, do you know who the actor Steven Weber is?
I do.
Have you ever wanted to see his junk?
I mean, I didn't want to see Jamie Foxx's junk, and yet somehow I did.
There you go.
I didn't want to see, what's his name, Lenny Kravitz's junk, but he just showed it to the whole concert.
So, I watched this movie on Netflix.
Okay.
It's called The Perfection.
Ah.
Have you heard about it?
I have.
Okay. Have you heard about it?
I have no desire to see it.
Really?
Yeah.
It is... So, they put it in the horror category. It's not really a horror movie. It's more of a thriller...
Suspense?
Nah, not suspense.
Weird?
It's very, very weird.
Okay. Your frame is completely off.
Yeah, it broke.
It does that.
Yeah.
It's not the first time.
So
no, every year, every week, I think I comment on it.
In The Perfection, Steven Weber runs this very high-end cello school.
Cello school.
Cello school.
Is that a euphemism for something?
Yes. So the movie starts out with the one character watching their parent pass.
Gas?
Pass.
Gas.
Number two?
No.
A stone.
Die.
The bowl?
Probably not.
Their hair?
Yes.
They dyed their hair.
So okay. Then you kind of leave from there and you catch up with Steven Weber, who is at this...
I'm not familiar with Steven Weber. You got a picture?
Oh, yeah, I've got a picture. You'll know him as soon as I turn this around. You'll be like, oh, that guy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. So...
Yeah, he works a lot.
Yeah. You catch up with him...
I tend to enjoy his work.
Yeah.
He plays a bad guy pretty frequently lately. Or an unscrupulous guy.
Yeah. Yeah, so... You catch up with him at an audition in China for students to come to his school. And he's there with his new cello prodigy. The person who watched their parent pass was his former prodigy, who left because their parent got ill. So they're there, they're doing this thing all night, and then some weird shit happens, and then these two girls decide they're going to go and just paint the town red.
With the blood of their enemies?
No.
Okay.
Period blood.
Ah, much better.
They wake up in the morning, and they are headed south in China, I forget what for. Oh, she's on vacation or something. And she starts getting ill. In the same way that the weird shit was happening to her the night before. And eventually she ends up cutting off her hand.
Okay. As you do.
As you do.
As most cello professionals would tell you to
want
do.
To do, yeah.
I mean, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Really, if you want to perfect your craft.
So
do it one-handed.
Yeah, yeah. So some time passes.
So many comments there, but I'm gonna let them go.
In the screen wipe, time passes, and then this girl with now the stub shows back up at the cello school. They let her stay a night, and then they're like, "Yeah, you gotta go. You're no use to us anymore. You can't play. You're done." So she decides she's going to go get the girl who, spoiler alert, she wasn't really sick.
I assume she was poisoned.
She was poisoned and then given hallucinogenics. She thought that she had vomited maggots. She thought that, like, it, she was convinced that there were bugs inside of her, and that's why she cut off her arm, because she was hallucinating that there were things under her skin, and the only way to get them out was to cut off her arm.
Okay. That's, I mean, I believe that's in the Bible. If your hand offends you, cut it off.
Yeah, yeah.
If your eye offends you, pluck it out.
Pluck it out, yeah. Okay. So, she knows that she was poisoned at this point. She knows that it was this girl. So she goes and she gets her, and she beats the shit out of her and takes her back to the school. And tries to use this as a bargaining chip to be allowed to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this place in this school where you go to play the perfection. Because that's how you get closer to God.
Okay.
Oh, I knew it.
And if you fuck up, Steven Weber and two other dudes and Steven Weber's lady friend rape you.
Okay.
Repeatedly, every time you fuck up.
With the cello bow?
No. Oh. That's where you see Steven Weber's junk. So they bring her back. And she hasn't played cello in years now because she's been taking care of her mom, and they get her all dolled up and they put her on stage, and there is this most unsettling part where she fucked up. So they're going to, you know, handle things the way they handle things. And the girl with the stump is like, well, normally I'd just use a finger, but you left me with this. So this will have to work. And you're just like, what the fuck? As if everything else that has gone on is not fucked up enough. Now you're going to watch stump rape?
It's not fisting.
I guess.
It gets really unsettling from there. And then there are these like weird time rewinds where you see what else is going on. And at the end of the movie, through the time rewinds and everything, you realize that these two ladies had eventually agreed to work together to take down Steven Weber because of all the terrible things that happened to both of them. So the movie ends with Steven Weber's character sitting in a chair with no legs below the knee and no arms below the elbow. And what appears to be gauze and a wound cover around his genitals, assuming they removed that as well.
Okay.
As they creepily, because during the climactic fight with him, the other girl gets, and it's fucking brutal in the movie, so new prodigy loses right arm. Old prodigy gets stabbed with a butcher knife in between the bones and the forearm, and he just, like, runs it up to the elbow. So that has to get amputated. So then they play the perfection to now Stumpy Steve with one girl bowing and the other girl playing, and it's this weird yin and yang with the cello creating the curve. And that's how the movie ends. It is fucked up. It is weird. I can't say that I enjoyed it or that I like it or that I recommend it. I can purely say, after watching it once,
I've seen it.
No, not just that. I can honestly say that is the most fucked up movie since the first time I saw Saw.
All right.
I thought you were going to say, after seeing it once, I really want to see more of Steven Weber's junk.
No. I will tell you...
I thought he was going to say he's been inspired to take up the cello.
I can play cello.
Well, it's basically a bass, right?
No.
All right, but you know what happens if you fuck up.
I know!
We've got Steven Weber out in your living room. He's getting warmed up now.
Yeah.
Your whole description of this weird movie, it's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw or listened to...
It's 90 minutes. Give it a watch.
No, I'll pass.
Yeah, you didn't sell me on it either.
I listened to an interview with Ricky Gervais today.
Yeah.
And it must have been recent because it's talking about his series on Netflix, Afterlife. Have you watched that?
I have not watched that
yet. It is really good and is really kind of deep.
I know you enjoy it.
I enjoy him. I really like him.
Isn't that where he plays God?
No. That's The Secret of Lying, or The Invention of Lying. Mm.
There. There's the final shot of the movie.
That's just weird.
Yes, very. Jesus Christ.
In the interview, he was talking about doing stuff in BBC, and it was never on BBC One. It was on BBC Two, or you know, like lesser channels, because of you know he wouldn't take out three more C words. You know, okay. And not compromising. He goes, and Netflix is like, we don't care what you do. We don't care how, it can be about what you want. It can be your project. We're going to pay you and we're going to put it up here. And apparently Afterlife has gotten a lot of following. A lot of people loved it. I caught it just flipping through Netflix. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that before. Watch it. It was good. But he says the hardest part of doing that with having that freedom, having that, No hindrances.
Yeah, nothing you're showing me is selling me on watching this movie.
No. No.
Anyway.
He said the hardest part is staying on subject. You know, because he might have a great joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But he can't put it in there because it'll take away from the seriousness he's trying to... Like, his stand-up, he says it's usually honest. The stories he tells are true. It isn't just, like, made-up stuff. But he put something in Afterlife. He told a joke. My friend committed suicide last week. He went up to the bathroom and took everything he found in... And downed everything he found in the medicine cabinet. He finally choked on a tampon. No. That's not below the... That's above the knee, above the elbow.
It's like right at the elbow.
It's
okay, well, either way, you're not selling us on this. I mean...
And it seems just abusive to take his genitals. I mean, he's got no limb in which to enjoy
them. I mean, there is that, but... You know, it is what it is. Anyway, I keep derailing you.
No, that
semi on purpose.
That was it. Just I get what you're saying. You know, what you find on Netflix, buyer beware. Sometimes it is someone's vision that does not have a filter.
I mean, you
know, sometimes it comes out raw.
I will say the movie is well done. It was obviously
filmed well.
It's filmed well. It's got pretty good cinematography. The special effects, like the part where the bugs are coming out of her arm, that's a little
weird.
But
that's a little the monster from Rim of the World.
right. I mean, it still looked it looked believable when they were crawling under her skin, but when they broke through the skin, that's where.
Some of the scenes in Ender's Game, the video game he plays. Yes. Yeah.
That was the problem with the bugs was mainly size ratio.
With maggots and stuff, it isn't bigger; it's a number.
Right. They went with less and bigger instead of
that's more mealworm, and small. Not maggot.
These were like beetles coming out of her arm.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, in like you'd like seen scarabs? Her. almost. Like, you had seen her vomit maggots and you'd seen her vomit spiders, and now all of a sudden beetles are coming out of her arm. It's like, I don't know about that. A little, Yeah, this is a solid flick, you know.
Yeah,
the way it was made. But
stop trying to justify your fact that you sat more than 5 minutes through this movie.
That is by far.
Is that one you invited the kids to watch with you?
I invited Kesley to watch it.
Ugh. Did you watch it?
No, she was already asleep. You gotta understand, man. Kesley has like that is.
I've met that dark little demon of yours.
That is nothing.
I believe I call her evil, and she enjoys it.
I told her to just embrace it.
I heard she once murdered her traveling companions.
She did. She did. She
clubbed them with a large hammer, I believe.
Yeah. She is now.
And now carries around that hammer.
Full of their blood.
Basically formed of their blood.
Yeah. She is making plans to start breeding snakes. Because one thing you may not know about my daughter, she's not real big on people. The fact that she continues to show up when all of us are there, including Dee, is a testament to the fact that she really likes D&D.
That's good.
Because we are not,
like I said, peer group. I wait for their day that it clicks and they realize this is their game too. I think we're all in agreement. Mara will be the first.
I think so.
Yeah. I think, Kez is very much a secluded person. I don't want to say a recluse, but she's
happy alone. Yeah. Happy by herself, chilling, yep. Listening to music,
yeah,
reading, whatever.
Yeah.
I end up there a lot. I don't, that's not my preferred state.
It's interesting. I'm still raising, but I've got three kids who are out of their formative years and into their teens or adult years, and I can honestly say all three of them are completely fucking different.
I have twins that are different.
Which is so weird to me.
My son likes to show everybody his penis.
Well, yeah, he does.
Knowing you, that's not different.
Yeah, but I'm not asking everybody to touch it.
Oh, he's progressed.
Is he really proud of it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Like, his new move is, I gotta go to the bathroom, and then, like, between where he is and the bathroom, it turns into him just kind of running with his shorts or pants around his ankles.
Okay.
And it's like, dude, you're in the kitchen. Wait till you get near the toilet to get it out.
I'm sorry. That shouldn't be funny. But it is. I find it very funny, to be honest.
Dead air.
You said you had something you wanted to talk about.
I started reading something.
What'd you start reading?
Walk Through Hell.
I'm not familiar.
Yes, you are. A Walk Through Hell.
Not ringing any bells.
It's Garth Ennis' new comic.
Oh.
You are familiar.
I am. Okay.
Because Free Comic Book Day was last month.
Yes.
Well. Last month as we're recording this, I have no idea when this episode's going up, but
yeah,
I had two things on my agenda to try and locate.
Okay.
One was if they had collected any of the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle crossovers. because they've done it twice and they're doing it one final time. Oh my god. And the next DC animated movie that comes out is Batman and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It actually looks pretty good.
I did see screenshots of that. Some of the artists I follow did either character design or concept art and stuff.
Because the turtles look like they did when we were kids.
Okay.
They've got that kind of a look to them.
The Eastman Laird kids or the first animated series?
First animated series.
Okay. So closer to the movie, the Jim Henson puppet.
Kind suits. Of.
Okay.
But even still, not the weird whatever the fuck they're doing with them now.
Not the Hulk turtles.
Right.
Okay. I can get behind that.
And they've done it in kind of interesting, like, I've got a couple issues from the second crossover.
So and they exist in Gotham?
No.
Or
it's
like an Elseworld story?
It's more like holes get ripped in the multiverse between New York and Gotham. Hmm.
Okay. I've read or seen a map of where apparently Gotham is supposed to be in relation to Metropolis, New York.
Yeah.
Gotham is like Newark, and then Bloodhaven's like Baltimore, right?
Okay.
Area.
I don't know.
It's just stupid fictional cities.
But that those were there were two things on my agenda. One was that. The other was Walk Through Hell.
Okay.
Because last year on Free Comic Book Day, they were hyping it up as coming soon.
Okay.
And I knew that there should be enough issues at this point to get it into a trade paperback.
Okay.
And I was right. It collects the first 5 issues. I've made it through the first 2.
Okay.
It is dark. I have no idea what the fuck's going on. At all.
Okay.
It's got like a blurb on the back that talks about the first arc.
Okay.
And the blurb kind of sells it short. So it bounces back and forth between what's going on now and flashbacks.
Okay.
And flashbacks from the first time they walk through hell, or?
I don't even know that they're necessarily walking through hell. It's so it follows some federal agents, and they... they're working, they've got a handful of cases that they're working, and it's 2 teams of 2, and this one team is supposed to go do a fairly routine inspection at a warehouse.
Okay.
And if something turns out to be drugs, they get to prosecute and everybody will be happy. And so they're kind of excited about that.
You would be.
But then it gets to be like later in the day and they don't show up where they're supposed to be, and they do, the other pair does some checking, and it's like, no, they're still there. They're still at the warehouse. And it's like, oh, okay. They went in. They've not come back out.
Okay.
So they go to the warehouse. SWAT team is there in their truck because the SWAT team showed up, went in the warehouse, was in there less than 30 seconds, came back out, got back in their SWAT van, and have just been sitting there quietly.
Okay.
All day.
As you do.
And so they go into the warehouse, and then it kind of goes off the rails.
Okay. I will have to check it out. Walk Through Hell.
A Walk Through Hell.
Okay.
I'll bring it over.
Okay. So, are you excited for Friday?
I mean, the end of a week, absolutely.
Well, no. I was talking more about what gets released on Friday.
Movie?
The Hounds.
You have Prime.
Oh.
I'm assuming you're going to watch it.
Good Omens.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, is that when it starts?
Yeah.
Yes, Friday. I'm excited.
I couldn't see. Are they releasing it all at once, or are they doing it an episode a week? Because they've, depending on the series, they've done it both ways.
I haven't seen anything stating either way.
Because I believe with the Jack Ryan series, they were doing like an episode a week, but then yep. like Hannah, they did all at once.
Yes.
I don't have Prime, so.
Really? You have twin daughters, and you don't have Prime?
What's on Prime that twin daughters need?
No, Amazon Prime.
What's on Amazon Prime that twin daughters need?
Two-day shipping?
Just Amazon in general.
They don't shop online. They need to feel the stuff. They need to touch it. They need to have it in their hand when the money exchanges hands.
Is that your rule or their rule?
That's probably a gene I passed down to them, yes. But
okay.
If I can't find it, I will order it. But I'd rather go somewhere now and get it and have it today.
Hmm.
I'm not typically a order something without having felt it. Because I told you Origins this year, I'd like to get some nice dice. Role playing is a big part of my life now, both in this group and other groups. And I'd like to drop some money on some nice dye.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be gem quality or what, but I'm talking like, you know, some nice blood granite or something, you know. And from what I've seen, that ranges from the $60 to $90 range for a set of 7 dyes.
And that is way more than I'll be spending.
Yeah. So I'm considering it. I have to find something I like and you know, the have to feel them in my hand and really commit, yeah, this is what I want to do. Otherwise, I'm going to the cheap seats and buying a whole shitload of dice. Because
that's probably what I'm going to do.
I would like to, as a player, there was that one booth that was selling, like, sets of dice. I mean, they were just like single color.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't
super fancy,
and they were like 2 sets for $4.
Yep.
2 sets for $5 or mm-hmm. so.
They were 2 for $5.
I would buy, you know, $20 worth of that, or, you know, $20-$40 worth of that.
Yeah.
Just to keep for when we go to like Con on a Cob to like hand out. Here you go. You're playing with us. Here's your dice.
Yeah.
If you want to keep them, fine. If you throw them back at me, fine.
Yeah.
You know, I bought these for this occasion.
One of the things that I found down at the Restore
mm-hmm.
When I was down there, I don't know if you saw that in the conversations over the weekend.
I did. I was so jealous.
I went down to the Restore, Habitat for Humanity.
Here in town?
It's actually downtown where I used to work.
Oh.
At that building.
Oh, it used to be on the back side of Karen's work.
Yes. So they moved into that building.
A lot more space.
Well, not just that. Here's the funny thing. So the owner, who had to go to court and all that, sold it to his brother-in-law, who failed at running it, and he sold it to a local flea market. The local flea market took out a ton of shit, but apparently left 90% of the second floor
untouched.
Untouched. So, I'm going to grab a beer, but I will show you what I bought for $7.
I was super jealous of that.
And I gave them my name and number and told them if they find any more, just call me.
Because
I buy them. But they also have the old school.
Are we talking Beanie Babies?
No.
We're talking, like, we will buy all of them.
Yes. They also had the Ultra Pro 3-ring binder with the deck boxes.
Oh, wait, I did see this.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking sleeves.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
1,000 sleeves. So, $7. I mean,
definitely something we as a...
Go get your beer.
Okay. Well, when we worked there...
Something we need as a company.
A box.
Was like $7.
$7. For... Was it 100?
Yep.
Okay.
It's always been 100.
And he got how many?
A retail display, which is... it's either 8 or 10. But even still...
For $7.
Yeah.
Those things don't really go bad. They're plastic. They'll last forever. And those are great for demo decks.
They're great for demo decks. Like I one of the few purchases that I intend to make at Con on the Cob. At Origins. I was going to pick up some more Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Oh, the hero game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one. That was fun.
So my intention was to pick up some more Sentinels of the Multiverse and...
Need a can or a bottle opener?
No. There it is. She was like, yeah, it's not out here anymore. But...
Is it 8 or 10?
10. That's 10. 1,000 sleeves.
Yeah. That jester is a... is a familiar face.
I also told them, if they come across anything and they're like, nah, I don't know what this is, call me.
Wait, this is Black Shield, so it's black on the back?
Mm-hmm.
It's not really optimal for our demoing deck, but I'll suffer.
Prototyping?
Oh, prototyping, perfect, yes.
I mean, those other shitty black sleeves that we used for the longest time when we were prototyping...
All the games I tried.
You know, the biggest one that we prototyped for the longest time, it was all Dark Age cards underneath of...
I mean, it's this, but black.
When we were, like, our role-playing world as a card game.
Yeah.
Realms of Men, yeah.
I am stupid excited that I was able to pick that up.
Yeah, that's $7, that's dirt cheap.
Yeah.
That's probably what they paid wholesale for it.
No. That case wholesale, because we were still buying those wholesale the last time I worked there.
Well, retail it'd be about $70.
No, it'd be more than that.
Yeah, I want to say it was actually like $7.95.
Okay, box. So $80.
Yeah. Wholesale on that would have been, well, 30, 35. They would have wholesaled it for 50.
Which means they're picking it up for 40?
35 to 40. Bucks. Yeah. Yeah. I will buy them all. Because, you know what? If nothing else, we'll buy enough that the Foolish Media booth will be the place to go to buy sleeves.
Not this year.
Oh, no, not this year. But... In future years, if we have enough?
I don't know. If I had to go to a booth to buy sleeves, I would go to the people that sold us sleeves before they were even fucking open last year at Origins. Those people were super cool.
Oh, yeah.
And but everybody, I mean, everybody we sold a copy of O'Cluck to, we sent them down there for sleeves. So.
Well, and if we have those...
And they had tarot sleeves.
They did. We had those when I worked there in black, blue, red.
Because those were the only colors that were available at that point.
Right. If I'm able to get them all, I mean, if I have to spend $7 a case, assuming they don't cut me a deal to just buy them all, that puts us in it at 70 cents a box. I'd be okay with putting them out for $3 a box. Have at it.
My intention is to ultimately probably end up having to buy like 400 sleeves.
For what?
I'm planning to get another Sentinels of the Multiverse big box.
Okay. I like that game.
Yeah, it's fun. So, I like how the decks have the different tiers. Some are more complicated. So, whereas you're playing with a diverse group, newbies to pro... You know, you can all get a challenge out of it.
Well, and I also liked, after having played it a handful of times, finding weird synergies between the different heroes.
Yes.
Yeah.
The, oh shit, my guy's ability works with your guy's ability. We can do some fun shit now.
Yeah. So, I just want to check
something. And I think that's... how the different tiers end up working. The lower tiered, easier to play decks are very self-contained. They don't care so much about what your other players are playing. Whereas the higher tiers, what your other players play impacts what you do, how you do it, and how you can help them and they can help you. Which I liked.
Mm-hmm. I like how each hero had their own deck too. That
yes. was cool.
And I mean, not just the thought, but that was a whole set of art that mm-hmm. has yeah. been generated for a specific character, mm-hmm. which was kind of impressive. The characters had rudimentary design. Yeah. I mean, they are definitely a generic game kind of comic art style, but still, they were consistent.
Yeah, so. And they had to be. And
it reminded me of like the GURPS superhero yeah. game, how the
yes.
you know, very like geometric shapes and bold colors for the characters' uniforms and whatnot. But
so, I just wanted to point out real quick the Kickstarter for Con on the Cob.
Yeah,
is about $1,000 away from its next stretch goal.
What is the Kickstarter?
Funding for the Cob.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you. I assume you follow him in some capacity on the mm-hmm. Facebook. What is your interest in the potential concert?
Oh, you didn't see?
No.
The Devo?
Yeah.
Yeah, that ended up... They got fleeced. Devo doesn't perform anymore.
Ah, okay.
Thankfully, they found out before they had paid more than a cursory deposit. So they have already, like... sicked a lawyer on them to get the money back.
That's unfortunate.
But
2D6 would be welcome again.
No, this was fun. This was for Oddmoll in Cleveland this year.
Oh.
So they are they're going to have other live music. It's just not going to be Devo. Which sucks because I was willing to plop down $100 and be like, "Here, man."
Yeah, I was like, I was in much the same place. I was like,
yeah,
I could throw a little down.
Yeah. So
that would be cool. I know that guy and, I like what he does.
Yeah.
Speaking of Andy.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I hugged that man.
Yeah. So,
we had a warm, deep embrace. He grabbed my ass. It was beautiful.
They wanted
in front of an auditorium full of people.
You were the chicken guy.
They wanted to,
speaking of which, what's the skinny on that sign? Are we doing that?
Yes, that was what I was talking about outside. I got to re-email it as two separate emails because I tried to include the PDF and the AI in the same. And it,
oh, okay.
Their security kicked it out. He wanted to make the con better this year. He wanted to offer some exclusive swag. He wanted to, you know, take the next step. Mm-hmm. So he started a Kickstarter, goal of $1,000, thinking whatever I get is going to help. And I was like, well, I'm going to need a badge. I won't be able to be there until Saturday.
I'll probably be there all the days.
So it's just me drinking with Ray Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
Score.
So
bring the Werther's.
I ended up pledging $90 because I tossed in a 2-day badge so that I can bring Kez on Sunday. If she wants to come Saturday, that's fine. So here's what I get for my $60 pledge. Where is it? Jesus, he's got a lot of...
Saturday is the night that we're staying.
Yeah.
Okay. She's coming Saturday and spending the night in a room full of dudes.
I don't know.
Middle-aged dudes at that.
She can sleep in the tub.
Manage my pledge.
Lock the bathroom door.
I mean, we're not her demographic.
Okay, so I pledged...
She's safe.
I pledged $60 plus threw on the badge for her. So I get a 4-day badge, a t-shirt, a Coblin button, a Cob crate, an exclusive Con on the Cob D6 die. I get the People's Ovation and Fame Forever. And I get a 2019 yearbook in PDF format.
Okay.
So there's...
I would really like to... You had mentioned something earlier tonight, mm-hmm. which I don't think we should probably say on my air for fear of jinxing it. But... I would like to really not promote or what, but making an event our D&D game. I mean, we did it last year as a last hurrah. Okay. Next year, Andy, or this year, Andy is full fort behind it and probably will play in it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll be able to because we're doing it on what is arguably the biggest night of the con.
Yeah.
Well, that does that.
Although.
That's the night we're staying, which yes. is probably why we're doing it that night, right?
Although. Yes. We'll be right back.
A fucking Kickstarter. Con on the Cob has been hands down the single best con I've ever attended. Quality people in an inclusive atmosphere with enough to do to ensure you only have a bad time if you try to.
Yeah.
I, now that we're back, would like to get some things of Ray's into the art show.
Oh, you've said that before.
Well, I actually had an idea. So, by the time Con on the Cob rolls around, that weekend we will be debuting strip number 31.
Okay. Ooh, can we do prints for purchase of Chicken Man by the Pool? Because that is a really unflattering photo. That every time I see on Instagram and I'm trying to show people, when mm-hmm. I'm like, I do photo shoots as a chicken. Like, as an Man. Asshole chicken.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And I'm like, see? I have zero shame. As I'm, like, going through the photos. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
It's okay. I was thinking we could maybe with the people that we do our prototyping for cards through, because they do books as well,
mm-hmm.
we could look at getting a...
Compilation
book. Signed by the artist.
We know him, and I love making him sit and sign shit.
Oh, no. No. I was thinking about doing one. And putting it...
Really expensive.
No, it's not.
Getting them printed is... It's not super expensive.
Yeah. But I was thinking putting the first compilation book in the art show.
How about this? Excuse this this business talk, but you get more than one printed, mm-hmm. but you number them. Number one goes in the auction. The rest are for purchase if people want to buy them.
We could do that. And I thought of...
Maybe if you purchase it or the person who gets it from the auction, I do a little doodle in the inside cover.
Yeah, I was thinking like the one in the art show... not only do they get it, but then they get to bring it to our booth, and Ray will personalize the inside cover for that person.
We definitely got to get a couple bunch printed, because one thing, fuck up there, someone, I need another one. Start up.
No, you got to roll with it, man.
It becomes a feature. It is that it is functioning as intended. It is not.
This
not
is the doodle he did on the inside of my book, and these smears are the tears of him, his shame hitting the page as he tries to erase permanent marker.
Yeah, but I thought about, maybe we do a book, maybe we do some nice 8x10 prints,
mouse pads. People love mouse pads.
Nah, I was trying to think. I was trying to think.
What is this, the 90s? No, there are people at work who ask the IT guy for a mouse pad. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Is it 92?
These are laser mice, and we have wood grain desks. There's no need for a mouse pad.
Today was the first day that I edited a picture at work that I cursed having a trackball.
Yeah, that would make that hard.
Because the way the shadows fell in these areas,
uh-huh.
I had to pen tool select. Yeah. trying to get...
You know what? That inner spoke part was the easy part in my eyes.
Really?
Around the tread was the hard part.
Oh, no.
Because that's black against white. You could just do a select.
But... Well, I mean, I still end up with some shadow that I have to go in and get.
Did you try adjusting the levels?
I did.
Oh, okay.
By the time I adjusted the levels...
That's a thing I could teach you.
Yeah.
Or did teach you once and changed your life.
Yeah. After I adjusted the levels, and then after I got a good spot, I went back in with the magic selection tool and just grabbed the rest of it.
Yeah.
Set that to white. Keep
selecting that.
Yeah.
And getting it, yeah.
I ended up with, like, right there on the back side, like the 8-6 area, I had to go back in and shift magic wand some things.
Tell you a secret. When you're doing the pen,
yeah,
you put in that point, you put in one of these points and that point, and then connect it. You make a triangle. You just find the corners.
Right.
And then in between, you add a point, and it automatically comes with the handles, and usually you can just bend, pull it right out to the point you want. Like if you're doing like an arc,
yeah,
you... Yeah, let's say it's like a cloud kind of thing. So you got a hump, and then you put a point in those two.
I've always been phobic of trying to add points.
No. You put a point here, and you put a point here, and then you go to the middle and just add a point, and it comes in with the handles, and you just pull it up, and usually it's a minor adjustment. Because it's a more natural arc between those two points. So you put basically anchors, like the corners of this...
That's that sorcery.
Yeah.
No, it's just 20 years of doing this shit.
I gotta say, man, I am so amped about the way my pictures have been turning out since I started, like...
Adjusting levels and whatnot?
Here is a tire pre-adjusting levels.
Oh, yeah, that's shit.
And then here is a tire post-adjusting levels.
Dude, that looks pro.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. That's why for so long...
Change your life, innit?
For so long, I shot against a brick background because I was like, it's brick. It looks cool.
Not knowing that you can make things appear to be floating on the page.
It just took so much work.
Yeah. Anytime I did pictures there, I wanted the cleanest single color backdrop I could get.
So you could select it all in one selection?
I didn't do shit to the photos.
Oh.
I just wanted a clean backdrop. I just wanted a clean monochromatic backdrop.
Yeah.
Brad at work has a portable psych wall.
A portable what?
Psych wall? You ever see those photo shoots where the lady's standing on white and it goes for infinity? Yeah. Basically what that is she's standing on a 10 by 10 or 12 by 12 square, and the floor curves up so you don't see the corners. And the wall, and the corners like that too. And
you illuminate it
to get rid of all the shadows, and it looks like she's standing in this expanse of warehouse.
Yeah.
He has something about the size of this card table, you know, like, you know, 2x3, wow. 3x3, and it has sides. And it collapses to a briefcase. You flop it up, and the back wall is, you have this little white curtain you pull down and attach to the front, and it just, it's like, and he just lays shit on there. So whenever you see like our Instagram photo of like a book kind of floating, it's basically he's taking it on there. And it has built-in little LED lights that he can flip on and just plasters that. No shadows, nothing.
That makes me moist.
And... even better, the front closes up, zips black, and then there's a little flap at the top where you can sit your camera so you can take a direct straight down shot. Yeah, it's pretty hot.
That does it for me, guys.
He's going to need a moment alone, folks.
Yeah.
It's not something you could probably build. I mean, if you had a box and you basically put a piece of like a styrene or something and was able to bend it like that and permanently affix it, as long as your thing fits in there and it isn't, you know, outside the wall, you could easily make something like that.
Yeah.
Or if you built a three-sided, like, three sides of a cube.
Right.
So you can look here and put something on that floor in that side. You could have that
fake wall. The way I did our fake wall for the video shoot.
Yeah.
I'm learning.
It's all of what they see and what they don't.
Yeah.
You look like a chaotic mess behind the camera.
Generally does.
Yes.
Generally.
Because that's where I sit.
Yeah. I mean, if you saw my office right now, it's fucking terrible.
So you want something for the art show?
I would like to get, like,
a
handful of things in the art show.
You want them,
if you want to do a book in the art show, from a cost and kind of pragmatic standpoint, here's my thoughts.
Okay.
Because I've had a few minutes to ruminate on it. I think I have a decent business idea.
Okay.
We do the first 26 strips, because he does a head, so we can easily have the first...
I was thinking 25.
Whatever fits onto the pages.
Yeah,
we have two per page or three per page.
I would think we could probably get three per page, so...
I was thinking one per page.
And they have to fucking turn it landscape?
I would assume we could get it stitched that way.
You could do one or two per page, and then there could be write-ups at the bottom, like, you know, talk about, like, inspiration, where the ideas came from.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a book I'm bringing in...
Okay. Okay.
Oh, okay. I have a book at home, a couple actually, that are compilations of Penny Arcade strip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty common format. You know, like you buy a Calvin and Hobbes book, they'll have like how many strips, and at the bottom they might have a write-up like, you know, what was happening in the strip, you know, inspirations, whatnot.
I thought another thing we could include would be some of the concept art.
On the facing pages, or
like
or
in the back,
in the background,
in the back. Well, just like in the back, even because in compilations, five, six, whatever pages in the back get devoted to concept art that led to this or led to that, and
then even the last few pages, last page could be other strip ideas that you may see in the future.
Yeah.
Or maybe we could get the artist to do a couple of images specifically for that.
Good luck with that. That guy's an asshole.
He is, but my understanding is Pop is not super a fan. This is based off my own perception of how he takes it when he is told draw, art boy draw, because he never really responds well to that.
Yeah.
No matter how many times he hears it.
I think that if we do a Fink book, it'll be great.
Fuck you!
Motherfucker, you called it fodder ink yourself. We could go back to the tape.
I know, I did. Only because that's the only way he recognizes it. It's Fodder Incorporated.
And I love that is the artistic discrepancy.
So, let me just tell you.
And it's weird because you're the words guy, and he's the one that's getting all territorial on the words.
Oh, I'm not getting territorial on the words. It's kind of like the game's called Fill in the Game, but when we talk about it, we either say FITG or we spell out FITG in our chat. We don't fucking type Fill in the Game.
No.
Okay?
So you can type whatever you want. You need to say Fodder Incorporated.
We say FITG all the time, so I'm just going to keep saying Fink.
All right, when you say Fink, it sounds fucking stupid. Like, I...
Hey, here's the thing. It's only fitting. He hates Captain America. Everything he says is stupid.
Here's the thing. If I say Fink long enough, when I go back to saying Fodder Inc., he won't have his granny panties no. twist.
He's hoping I'll say it too.
No, I'm not hoping you say Fink. I think Fink sounds stupid, but if I keep saying Fink long enough, you'll be okay with Fodder Inc.
I told you to name the fucking thing Fodder Inc.
You did.
But, in the understanding that it is Fodder Incorporated. That's the name of the company that bought the dungeon. Or mm-hmm. controls of that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I was thinking a book for fodder.
Sure.
I was thinking I'd really like to get a chicken, something in the art show.
I have a couple chickens. Sucker Punch, Flew the Coop.
But if we do something like that, like, I would really like to have a better than just borderline cardstock print.
Okay.
You talking a fracture or something?
A fracture?
You seen that infomercial where they print on glass and hang on? Fractal? Fracture?
No. I was thinking, like, we'd order some canvas print.
Okay.
Not much.
Okay. Yeah, whatever.
But
I got till October, right?
Yeah. I was thinking if we had, like, 3 or 4 pieces we could throw in the art show.
Just tell him how this started. Because you were calculating what was going up this week. And realized that this Saturday
is my favorite story arc, the beginning of, that we have so far. We get...
This is...
So last Saturday...
That goes up this week?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Kitty comes back last Saturday.
Really?
Or 2 Saturdays ago. I don't know.
This week.
Shit. Okay.
I am so not used to where we are chronologically.
Right.
Because I'm getting strips from, like, he's like...
A month ahead.
He's like, the X is done. And yeah. I'm like, cool. And I look at it, and I'm like, that's fucking balling. And
right.
So then the 4 people I show at work, I'm just like, hey guys, got another one. And then I show them, and then I get weird feedback from the one.
So...
Specifically about Kitty.
Okay.
For those people...
Well, she'll be ecstatic.
She has very strong thoughts on what should be done with Kitty in the future.
Chad has one specific thing he really likes.
The oh my god, I didn't even notice that.
The inclusion of that minute detail.
See, I loved the focus shift
yes.
and the perspective and the blur.
Yes. But the inclusion of that is just, it's one of those minor things I would never have thought to do. But it adds...
Well, it was here too, but
some of those
it got covered up.
Some right. of those minor details are, oh, that's right. Well, I mean that starts like a 5 arc thing, 3 or 4.
Four.
A 4 strip arc that is...
Yeah, the next
fucking bonkers.
The next month is all about.
Oh my god, we'll get to that. I'm gonna save that. We're gonna talk about that.
What?
It's a tweet from the Hill. But we're not talking politics right now. We're talking about other things.
Stuff that make us happy.
Uh huh.
Why do we have to move from stuff to make us happy?
I promise this will make you laugh.
Well, it is a laughing stock, so.
No, I think for those who haven't started reading Fodder Incorporated yet.
Thank you.
You can catch us on Facebook. It goes up on the Foolish Media page every Saturday. You can catch it on Instagram, or not Instagram, I'm sorry, on Imgur. You can catch it on Reddit in multiple places, and you can catch it on the Foolish Media website.
Which is foolish.media.
/fodder-inc.
Or foolish.media, and just click on the menu and it's like fodder.
Yeah, I mean, it is right there at the top of the menu.
Or, you know, if you go to the website, just look around. There's a bunch mm-hmm. of shit up there now. it's maybe
we got a lot to offer.
And you're missing out because I calculated it today. In the episodes that have gone up as of the time of this recording.
Which are how many?
Six.
Seven.
Is it seven?
Seven. Okay. Because the next one is eight.
Yeah. Right. So in the 7 weeks.
So then, less than 2 months.
Less than 2 months, we have amassed in verifiable. I can't count people who just see it on Reddit and don't click. But in visits to the website, views on Facebook, and views on Imgur, we have topped 20,000.
That's pretty good.
That is a pretty good footprint so far.
Starting from where we were.
Yeah. You know
just
what?
Just a hair over nothing, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to be kind and not talk about where we were before, but... Yeah.
You know what you need?
Well,
some molecules of freedom.
Molecules of freedom?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
We don't have to go there yet. I'll just keep dropping things in. We don't have to go there yet.
With that revelation of 20,000.
Yes.
I'm ashamed it took me this long to give in to
doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, now that's spread over 7 strips.
Now, granted, I tried to start it secretly so I could back out if I didn't like it. But then I went and freaking told you guys, so I had to.
Now, to be fair, that is just a shade under 3,000 views a strip. But it's 3,000 views a strip-ish.
And then... I have to assume some fraction of those are checking other things on the site.
Oh, yeah. We are getting really good bleed-through traffic.
Yeah, there's a reason I'm not asking you for numbers on some of the other stuff, because I don't want to know.
Some of it is performing better than others. The journal...
Mm-hmm.
Is a smaller audience.
Okay.
But it is a consistent audience.
Interesting.
You pretty much guarantee you put up a new journal, and within 3 to 4 days, it is at max viewership.
Okay.
But it gets there every time.
All right.
And it's not like it's low... ish. I mean, compared to Fodder Inc. it is. But I mean, Fodder Inc. is pulling in...
Fodder Inc.'s a more visceral, easy...
It's more accessible.
Yeah. I mean, we're still pulling triple digits.
Don't tell me these things.
I am telling you.
No, don't tell me these things.
Now, I will tell you, I have not statted any of the chapters. I have not even looked.
Okay. Well, by the time this episode goes up... should be chapter 8.
Okay. Okay. I have purposefully...
Which by then will feature... I'm going to have to actually... It's not going to be going back and editing a chapter. Mm-hmm. Because by then it's going to introduce... it's going to introduce a group and a thing that came to me...
Okay.
In a flash at work one day that I scribbled down in a notebook, my Fight Club moment.
Oh, okay. I'm going to set a hard deadline for myself because I've been asked by 3 people to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is by the end of the summer, I will have 2 full songs recorded.
Wait, edited. Did you say 2 full songs?
2 full. F-U-L-L.
I think it should be 2 full songs.
Okay. I will have them recorded, mixed.
Hey, we got a brand.
Yeah. And ready to go. They will go live on the site.
Okay.
They will be embedded in a player similar to what the podcast is on site. But it'll be a YouTube player instead of a podcast player.
Oh, fair enough.
Are we talking video here?
No video.
We should collaborate.
Not on these two.
No. Not on those two. I meant in the future.
No.
We should collaborate.
These two songs...
I don't have nearly enough going on, so I think collaborating with you on a musical endeavor is really the next logical progression of capitalizing on the time as it is.
Texas bill would allow death penalty for women who get abortions.
Yeah.
We will prove how pro-life we are with murder.
Talk about a downer. God, at least my political thing is funny.
Well, it was Bender saying murder, so.
Okay, I'm sorry. Continue, Chad, please. Yeah.
No, it's the first song I'm going to record and get mixed and mastered is the song I wrote after my father's passing.
Okay.
And the second song is going to be a, I guess you'd call it the piece that kind of, you've heard it. I've performed it on this show.
Okay.
I will be recording that as well. Not on my 8-string. I just got my
the thing you've been building?
Old guitar finished. It's done. It's playable. So I'm going to record it on that. I like the way it sounds and the setup that I have on that guitar. It's in a different tuning. I'm gonna get those up and recorded. I'm even going to, have you seen the percussion boxes? It's like this, it looks like, it's about the size of that end table right there.
Okay.
And you sit on it. And then each side of the box actually has different things on the inside that as you...
It's an acoustic drum machine that people can play.
Yeah. You sit on it and you can play it. It's become a popular thing lately. Some
Karen went to school with, plays in a band. Mm-hmm. They'll sit around. Mm-hmm. He has like a bonfire every like 4th of July and they'll sit around and play and somebody will come out of the guitar and one guy will sit on that and just kind of like, tap it and...
Got like a bongo thing on one side, more of a bassy side, kind of and then snare-y. A snare side.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to buy one, and I'll either fumble through recording it for, 3 hours to get a usable track to piece together, or I'll just con my son, the percussionist, into doing it.
Instead of conning him, maybe you could just ask him.
Yeah, he's not interested. He doesn't like my music.
Does he like you?
Yeah, but he doesn't. It's not his kind of music.
Then have it build off you and not your music.
Help an old man out.
I'm going to guilt him.
Okay. That was where I was going.
I wrote this song about your dead grandfather. I really appreciate it if you would do this for me. Dude, people get taken...
No,
people get taken aback by what they see as sometimes my callousness towards the fact that my parents have both died in the past year. When I got the money...
No, I'm not taken aback. I just say hurtful things in my curiousness.
Well, I mean, like, when my mom gave me a little money after my dad passed... and we went to go buy our new furniture. The lady was like, "So what's your budget?" And I was like, "Well, I got like $3,000 in dead dad money."
Wow. That get you a look?
She was really kind of taken aback. She was like, and my wife looked at me and she was just like, "What the fuck?" And I'm like, yeah.
It's just so freaking beautiful.
As I've been planning my family vacation in November, I don't know what you're planning to do for a podcast the week of Thanksgiving, but it is not going to include me unless we pre-record, because I will not be here.
San Francisco!
I will be in San Fran!
Where everybody shits in the streets, apparently.
Hey, whatever. I'm going to Alcatraz.
How else are you going to get pink eye?
Shitting in their eyes.
Get it out of the street, they rub their eyes.
I'm gonna go to the Muir State Forest, and we have agreed we are going to Turo a Mustang convertible.
Okay.
God, looking at Turo is a lot of fun. Did I tell you what this is? Okay, imagine Uber.
Saw an ad for it before Endgame.
But instead of using an app to pick a car to come get you, you are using an app to pick someone's car you're going to rent for the day.
It's like Airbnb, but for cars.
Mm-hmm.
People renting their own cars.
Yeah.
Never see your car again.
I mean, the best part of seeing that commercial with my wife... Oh, fuck. That has to be a nightmare to insure, is the only thing she could say.
Yeah.
Agreed.
If I wanted, my wife and I could both rent a black and white Lamborghini Murcielago to and take our Thanksgiving to
totally
day trip.
Ruin the transmission on.
Oh no, I could drive it.
I would totally.
No.
Time.
There is no stick.
Oh,
it is paddles.
Because you don't take your hand off the wheel.
Yeah. But yeah, we're gonna. There's like three people that have new-ish, like,
and they're willing to let strangers drive them.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they're set up with this fucking service.
You're paying a lot of money.
How much is your Mustang
the
convertible?
The Mustang convertible for Thanksgiving Day is going to cost me almost $200.
Figure even if they only
so is this like a
figure
person,
if they rent it,
or is yeah. this like somebody who has a car lot?
No, this is a person.
But even if they only rent the car like 3 days a month, that's car payment plus.
Yeah. Rent it a day a week at it's a well I'm paying a surcharge for it being a holiday, but normally it's $150. So you rent it, say you just list it available every Sunday, that's $600 a month. That's car payment. Say you list it an extra day a month, that's $1,200 a month. That's your car payment and whatever fucking insurance that you have to have on it to do this.
Well, honestly, if the people renting it have full coverage, you don't need insurance to let somebody else drive your car. It's
true.
The driver has to be insured.
Right.
People, that's a misconception. You don't insure this car. You insure this driver
in
and,
the state of Ohio.
With the understanding that this is the car they're driving.
In the state of Ohio. In the state of North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
you insure the driver.
That's what I was saying.
I'm sorry. In the state of Ohio, you insure the car. And you have to be insured on that car.
Now, that seems ridiculous. I want to
right.
insure me.
Right.
Any car I step in, if I wreck it. My insurance is going to...
You know how I found out that that's the way it works in North Carolina?
Hmm.
When my son got in an accident in his wife's car. At the time, they had separate insurance. In the state of North Carolina, doesn't matter that he is insured with full coverage with a $500 deductible on his truck, he's not insured on that car. Right. But yeah, I mean, we're gonna Turo Thanksgiving Day. We're gonna have a blast. I'm so amped.
What's your sister's feelings on this?
She was a little bummed at first that I wasn't gonna be here for Thanksgiving.
Gotta understand.
Oh yeah, I mean, I just went down and watched her damn kids so that she could, you know, take the Alaska trip, which she had a blast on.
What'd you do to your arm, man?
Oh, that is what happens when you have a 50-pound box of lawnmower blades. The
corn slips?
Is it fucking you?
No.
Violently?
So, you know the way they come in.
Yeah.
You remember the way they came in on the skids. So I'm leaning over and I'm digging. It's yesterday. It's my fucking Black Friday. And it's 2:45. Trucks are showing up in 45 minutes. I have blades that I'm waiting to get shipped that just came in. We're talking a 3-foot-tall pallet. They're in a Gaylord, and they're stacked 3 boxes deep. And I'm like, okay, I know it's on this skid. So I'm just like, they label the outsides of the boxes. So I'm just pulling them up, not there, and I stand it up, and I pull the next one up, not that one, and I pull the next one up, not that one. And as I put my arm back down, I hit the box, and it fell, and that is just the edge of the box running me as it fell back in.
Where the hell is it? This little white scar right there.
Yeah.
That is working at a restaurant, ripping boxes up, reaching in to grab it, and where the corner of the box meets, just catching the inside of my arm and just digging a gouge out. And
yep.
That left a scar worse than when I sliced my arm open on the right here's where that little bit, barely see it. That's when I was cleaning the meat slicer like this from the backside.
Oh.
And I went like this and the blades turned in and just went and shaved a little bit off.
I think
that bled like a motherfucker.
Oh, I bet it did.
The box left a bigger gash in me.
You okay there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Is it that place or that place?
It's a person who exists in my phone as that.
Oh, wait. Is this the every...
Just the top part. The very top part. The name.
Yeah.
They exist in my phone as that.
Yeah. I think the oldest scar I have, which is hard to discern from a vein, is right there. Mm-hmm. Just that little... I was like... 6-7 years old. This is in elementary school, first or second grade. My mom worked at the old Y at the hospital daycare there.
Okay.
So after school, I would go up there. And I was allowed to be
where
there.
Where was the school that you walked from?
Carpenter, just down here on Marion.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with
it. Like, if
two
you
blocks,
go.
3 blocks?
You go down that way? So you got, like, the pizza shop, the drive-thru, the pizza shop, and then you've got, like, the law building and then the big gray building. Like, it's down the hill a little bit. It's a medical building now. So I walk up Marion, 2 blocks, and then down Bartley to the old Y. I had just come from school. I had one of my pencils in my pocket. I'm out playing on the jungle gym. And I'm on like a log chain bridge or something. And we're jumping and we're having a good time. And we're doing the thing where, you know, one person's standing in the middle and two people are on the other ends of the bridge. And you're jumping.
Yeah.
They bounced me so high, I went over the side of the bridge and I came down in a crumpled heap.
Now, memory serves, you were a small child.
I was a very small child. I was tiny. And I came down in this, like, not head first, but probably, like, shoulders, chest first, like this. And the pencil that was in my pocket ran through my jeans and into my forearm. And I was like, ooh, that hurt. And I tried to get up, and I couldn't because my arm is now pinned to my leg.
Nice.
When I finally got someone to come over and carry me back inside, they had to pull my arm and the pencil out while holding on to the pencil because they were terrified because, as you can see, that's right where my vein is. They were afraid that the pencil had pierced my vein.
Nice.
Didn't happen. The EMT, when he got there, was like they were ready with a tourniquet and all kinds of fucking shit, like ready to go to pull this thing out.
They look at you like, just pull it out.
And they pulled it out. And it started bleeding, but not pierced a vein bleeding. The EMT told my mom I had to have missed it by millimeters.
How old were you?
6 or 7.
Okay.
Like, terrified, because they had to, like, when they started to pull my arm and I was like, oh my God, that hurts. They started looking and realized that the pencil was through my pants and into my arm. Then they had to,
yeah, that was rough. I fell out of a tree, in the works treehouse when I was a kid.
Mm.
We were on the ground nailing nails into the boards so we could take them up into the tree and drive them through the board into the tree.
Oh, you've talked about how you used to build treehouses.
Yeah. And I was coming down, fell on one of those boards, and right here and right here where two nails went into my hand as I flopped down.
Yeah.
All right. I will show my by comparison terribly underwhelming pencil interaction.
Okay. I need to get the light.
You need the full light.
Okay.
You see the discoloration there?
Yeah.
I got stabbed in the hand with a pencil. I think I was 8.
Okay.
It has retained that gray mark since. I have no idea if a pencil lead broke off in there.
And it's just never been absorbed.
Whatever it is, I have had this discoloration since I was in the Cub Scouts at my troop leader's house. We were out playing in the yard. Because I remember the exact event.
Yeah.
Because
it was traumatic.
It was. We were playing in the yard, but we were doing like something where activity, we were supposed to be, it's some sort of activity where we were supposed to be like writing down things when we were in the yard, but we were small children, so we were running around like assholes.
Of course you were.
Because, you know, that's what small children do.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I know, I stand up, like I've fallen down, and I stand up, and the pencil is just sticking straight out of my hand, and I'm like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
So I do what any sensible person does. I just pull the pencil straight out. And it's just bleeding down my arm. And my story is so far unimpressive compared to either of your two war wounds.
So is this where I tell the story about getting attacked by the dog and having my ear reattached?
Really?
Yeah, no joke. I was weeks shy of...
No, wait. Didn't Kesley get attacked by a dog too?
Yes.
I was something about you critters.
Weeks shy of turning 3.
It was about the same time for her, right?
No, she was like 5 months old.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So
I remember when that happened. It was your sister's dog or something, right?
Yeah. My sister had just gotten a dog because it was good with kids, according to the Humane Society. So it is the dog days of summer.
If you wanted to eat your child, then it's the thing you want.
It's deep in August. It was fucking hot. I had played with this dog every day since I was able to walk. It was my neighbor's dog. And I did not know, obviously, at the time, I was almost 3. The dog was really old. She was an old German Shepherd. My dad said she was probably like 11 years old. It was hot outside, and she was just laying in the driveway, and
on the cool ground, trying not to die.
And I approached her from her, she was deaf in one ear, and I went down to pet her, and I touched her, and I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. Like, she just jumped up, spun around, and bit my head, and then let go, and then bit down on my ear. My family said, you can't see the scars up here anymore. But she had pierced through, like, my ear was held on up here at the front, and then back here, and then my earlobe was hanging by just the piece of skin that attaches my earlobe to the side of my head. I had several hundred stitches in the side of my head.
Really?
Stitching up just, like, bite wounds, like, two here. And then it was almost 100 stitches to get my ear back on.
My brother beats everyone. Agreed, right?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. It's not my scar, but I feel sort of responsible. Yeah.
It's your brother.
Yeah. Treehouse.
Yeah.
Tire chain ladder. Didn't reach the ground, so we hammered some of them big nails into the bottom of the tree to be the step you get up to get onto the tire chain.
Yeah.
It's great going up. No problem going up. Yeah. Coming down, when you're on the tire chain and you reach your leg to the left, the tire swings out to the right to compensate, and that nail gets farther away. Yeah. Brian, being smaller than me, had a little more trouble. Reached with that left leg, thought he was on the nail, let go. Heel slides off the back of the heel, up his leg, rips his testicle open. 7 stitches in his left testicle. Mm. He had to stuff the stuff back inside. Mm. And all he gets for it is 3 kids because he told his girlfriend he couldn't have kids.
Yeah.
You think you'd
like okay, fine. I will tell my equally underwhelming story.
Okay, come on. I'm glad this turned into Scar Talk. This is great.
Let's see. There were the 2 times over 1 spring break that I made it to the emergency room.
Okay.
The first time was for whiplash, because I fell off my skateboard and got whiplash.
Okay.
And then in the same week, I early teens, I was playing with a broken light bulb.
As you do.
As you do.
This was the second time I had to get stitches, but I was playing with a broken light bulb because it seemed like a good idea. Broke the light bulb. Had to go in for that. I've got the tiniest.
So you don't get cuts. You get cuts and then a souvenir inside.
Pretty much. So I've got the tiniest cross-shaped scar.
Okay.
Where my thumb meets my hand. But the only way I could show it to people, the cross ends up upside down.
Nice. Beast.
So, because it was like, we could put a butterfly bandage on it because of where it is, you might want stitches to keep it from coming open, because it's like it is right on the joint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I got the 2 stitches because I'd had stitches at that point, and I thought the stitch scars were kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's the only stitch scar I still have. Now let me tell you a stupid story.
Okay.
So I was riding my bike, and there was a girl. This was out by Madison's old.
It's a girl.
This is out by Madison's old
increase
high school.
Increase your volume just a
smidge. All right.
Just a smidge.
So I'm playing out by Madison's old high school.
Okay.
Again, early teens. This was before I got stitches in my hand. And so I'm riding my bike, and there's a girl, and she's playing tennis. She's doing just like some practicing against like the backboard at a tennis court because she's just there by herself. And I saw her from a distance. I'm like, oh, she's kind of pretty.
As you do.
Let's impress her with my prowess on a bicycle.
Oh, wheelie popping.
And so my impressing her with my prowess on a bicycle turned into, oh, there's a big rock in this gravel parking lot. And I went ass over tea kettle. With the bike essentially flipping over on top of me, coming down on my back.
Like that's amazing.
Okay, so
that's an inverted lolly.
In the process, I caught my knee in the parking lot.
Okay,
this gravel parking lot.
Did she come to your rescue?
That was what I was getting ready to
ask. I'm like,
I'll get there.
Short of impressing, sympathy definitely gets her attention.
So I end up with my bike on top of me. My knee is
not what he wanted on top.
My
of
knee is flayed open at this point. I was going to where my mom worked because she worked at the bus garage, which was at the other end of this parking lot. So I make it to her, and I'm just a bloody tore up mess at this point. She thought I got hit by a car. Not the first time she thought that. When I came home a bloody mess. The other time I got jumped. That's a different story. So she like throws the bike into like the little waiting area there, and she takes me to the hospital. As we're driving away, it's a dude with long hair.
The tennis girl.
The that tennis girl, yeah, that was kind of cute.
Was a dude
with long hair.
Okay.
So I ended up having to get 16 stitches, which nothing really.
Right.
Sweet
right.
16.
But they had to numb the shit out of my knee, and the doctor spent. And I am sorry if this triggers anyone. The doctor spent a solid 30 minutes just scraping shit out because all of the dust from the gravel parking lot had essentially turned to tar in the wound. Mm-hmm. But they had numbed me up so well, and I was so jacked on adrenaline at this point that I could not stop the entire time the doctor was in there. What you doing now? What you doing now?
That apparently that was Brian when they were stitching up his testicles.
He's like, and the doctor kept telling me, you know, you don't have to watch. No, it's cool. Should this hurt? And he's like, why? Does it? Not at all. Because by then I'd been stabbed with a needle, I don't know, a half dozen or more times. I lost count of how many times they injected shit into and around
that,
my knee.
That was this palm, yeah.
And, like, he was just ended up with just this pile of scraped out tar-like nonsense from cleaning the wound.
Coagulated blood and dirt and
stone.
Yeah,
yeah. And they're like, he's like, I think I got it all.
So, you felt responsible for your brothers, somewhat responsible.
No, I felt responsible because it was the treehouse I was building.
So you're the reason he is the way he is.
Okay.
Oh, for many, not just the treehouse, yeah.
So, my family and I used to live, like, literally two doors down from Carpenter Elementary when I was a kid.
Okay.
Do you come up, Marion, to come to my house?
I come.
Okay. This way. So
he doesn't know road names.
Yeah, he just doesn't know
how he gets here.
Okay. So
I turn off of Park Ave on.
There is a stoplight.
Brinkerhof.
Yes.
Okay. By the park.
Yeah.
And then you circle up and around.
Then I come up here and do the light and around.
So down that road there. You get down there, there's the school, what used to be the school, and then a house that I think has been torn down, and then my house that is now torn down, and then a church at the stoplight. I lived in the house that was right before the church. And there's this steep-ass fucking hill. And
much like the one at the end of the street.
Yeah, like that. Imagine that hill on the side of your driveway. And then there's like 5 feet of ground and then a big fucking brick church. So me and the neighbor boy always thought it was a super fun time to go sled riding down this hill.
Into the side of the church?
No, we would jump off before we got to the...
Right into the glory hole.
Right before we hit the glory hole of a church, we would jump off and the sled would hit the church. And we just thought it was hilarious. Well, my sister kept seeing us do this. And we kept telling her, no, you can't do this. You can't do this. She's like, I was like 12, 13. So she was like 7 or 8. How do you tell a 7 or 8 year old how to make sure they jump off a sled before you go smashing into the side of a church?
Well, I think they have to smash into the side of the church once or twice before they learn the...
Spoiler alert! So, we had been out sled riding.
And it's so easy. So many things like this when I was a kid, I'm surprised I'm not crippled.
So we had spent all afternoon out there.
I used to jump off the roof of the school.
Going down this hill and just having an absolute blast. Fucking around. We go inside. My sister decides that she is going to now sled ride because we left our sleds outside. She's going to do this. I am downstairs in the basement peeling off my snowsuit and my wet clothes. I'd been out there like 4 hours. And the next thing I know, I hear my sister just let out this blood-curdling scream and she is just sobbing. And I'm like, oh God, what happened? And she comes in the house and I can just hear, my head, oh, this is my head. And my mom's upstairs and she's like, what did you do? And the next thing I know, she just screams, Chad, I'm going to the hospital. If you need something, call your dad. Okay. So apparently, my sister had decided it would be a fantastic idea.
Go down head first.
To go down the hill on the sled, as you do.
Head first.
Head first. And not...
Jump off.
Get off at the bottom of the hill.
I appreciate her staying the course.
And it left a gash on her head that they said, well, we could stitch it, but if you stitch it, it'll leave a scar. We could do two butterflies side by side, and it's going to be a smaller scar. So they went with...
She has a permanent part on her hair?
She has a small scar that is very distinct because of two butterflies instead of going the route of getting stitches, because she just could not bear the idea of having stitches in her head because of what she blames as my fault. Now, you felt responsible for your brother's injury. I, in no way, shape, or form...
I just miscalculated my height versus his height.
I, in no way, shape, or form, feel even the slightest bit of guilt over my sister watching us sled ride this and us completely, like, the whole time telling her, no, 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 no. And then we go inside, and what's she do? She fucking does it and realizes she got hurt. And not my fault.
The same instance where I had these two nails go in my hand, that was part of a larger construction. As we built an Iron Man obstacle course in my neighbor's backyard. Okay. They had a back porch with a little privacy fence on the side of the porch. It was a privacy fence with like a bit, like half inch by six boards that are basket weaved together in the fence to make perfect ladder for a little kid to climb up onto the roof. So that was one obstacle. We started on the porch. We ran to the fence. We climbed up the fence onto the roof, over the top of the roof, and jumped into the hedges in the front of the house. Then you had to roll through those hedges to get against the front of the house and run out through there, around the house. You had to get on your bike. Then we had it was probably 10-foot-long board laying at an angle on top of 5 cinder blocks. And you had to ride your bike up. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We had to ride your bike up that and jump. You know, boom, land, throw your bike, roll down a hill, and then you had to climb that tree that I fell out of already. And then you had
at least you're already familiar with it.
You climbed up that tree, swung on one of the branches to the next tree, climbed down that one, and then run to the front of the house where there was this huge fucking pine tree that you had to climb up through the branches to the top. And this thing was at least 40 feet tall. You get to the top where I'm loving
this story so much.
You get to the top where it's like swaying back and forth as you're climbing. You're covered in tar and pine needles, and then you let go and slide down the outside of the branches to the finish line.
That sounds fucking
everything that I wanted.
And I succeeded in this challenge. My best friend, neighbor, died. Aaron Oney, succeeded in this challenge. Michelle fell out of the tree. She didn't go over the ramp. She went halfway up the ramp and jumped off because she was afraid to go over the ramp. She did jump into the hedges, all that. But when she tried to swing from the one tree, she jumped to grab the branch and forgot to grab the branch and just fell down. And she has a little crescent, like where you have the little dimple in your top lip. She has a crescent-shaped scar that follows that same dimple because she smacked right on some of the boards we still had laying down there. And ripped her lip open.
Wow. Okay.
That ended the obstacle course.
Wow. So, all right.
We lived on a dead-end street. We had a lot of free time in the summer.
All right.
Parents worked.
You talk about swinging. I can give you a halfway decent maiming story.
Okay.
Maiming story.
I'm all about it.
What is the title of this episode?
I don't even fucking know.
Two fools and show me your scar.
Two fools and the perfection at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. So I was at a friend's house. He and I are not friends anymore. We're not even acquaintances. We don't talk. I'm confident that I would just want to beat his ass if I saw him.
Okay.
But he had to go in for dinner, and as was custom, I was allowed to swing on his swings when he went in for dinner. Okay. So I'm swinging on the swings. I jump face first into the ground.
Oh! Okay.
I get up missing some teeth.
Oh, fuck. How old were you?
Young enough that it's okay.
Okay.
They were still baby teeth. But I get up, and my front teeth don't come with me. Both of them. From the top. So I was missing those till they came in. And this is the first of many times where I make it home.
I'm just a blubbering mess, and I'm sobbing, and my mom thought I got hit by a car.
As you do!
Because I'm just a blubbering, bloody mess, and I've just got blood pouring down my face.
He came out of nowhere,
I'm such a mess that she can't even get what happened out of me. Eventually, they were able to recover the teeth from the ground.
Okay.
They were still completely intact. They had just been yanked straight the fuck out.
Wow. You can't put those back in.
No. Oh, and you wouldn't with baby teeth. I mean, that would just be throwing money in the dumpster at that point.
And so, yeah. So, there was quite a while where I didn't have front teeth.
Wow. So, is it about that time?
It is about that time. I don't know if we were going to continue comparing war wounds.
Well, I mean, I figure we're at that point where it's kind of hazy on time.
Well, I have one more. Sorry. You were talking about your knee and cleaning the dirt out. And I had this scar that kind of goes with the heel of my hand here.
I see it. I could
you
see
ever
it.
See those?
I couldn't see it when you put your hand here, mm-hmm. but when your hand is back there,
yeah, my angle on the light. It's very distinct. Yeah. So. But you know those industrial electrical outlets?
Oh, yeah.
Your dick in one.
It's not the pretty ones you have in a house. I'm at Linway, Ashland. They have those. It wasn't even an outlet where it had to plug in. It was a mm-hmm. junction between like the cables coming down, and here's where they tie in. I'm wiping down the back wall behind the grill, you know, cleaning. And I see this outlet here, and it has the metal faceplate, and it has the screws in the corner where you loose it so you can mm-hmm. take the whole front plate. It was like off the screws. So I went like this with my heel hand and just kind of tried to push it down. Yeah, it was tight. It was just off center, and they don't really soften the edges of those things. It was basically just me running my hand on a saw, and I just sliced the heel of my hand open.
Indeed.
I'm like, ow, fuck. I put my thumb on my hand, I guess. I go up to my boss. I'm like, I need to go to the hospital. He's like, why? And I go, that's why. And he's like, don't you bleed on my seats. Takes me to the hospital. I'm fine up to here. Then the doctor comes in, and they have to get inside here mm-hmm. to see if I damaged the tendon.
Yes.
Okay.
So they give me a shot, and they wait a little bit. And then he takes a tongue depressor, popsicle stick,
yep,
and wedges it open with that.
Oh.
I don't care how much Novocaine you shoot me up with, that fucking hurts. You just put a cord of wood in my hand and it are nosing around with shit. They put one stitch inside just because it looked suspect, they said. Mm-hmm. And then I had like six outside.
But, okay. Yeah,
that was a pain in the ass because pretty much... your hand just doesn't work for a couple days.
No, it doesn't.
But yeah, I got a nice scar out of it.
So, since we're winding down,
mm-hmm.
the tweet I saw earlier from the Hill that I promised
is
political, but it's funny. So, our current president's energy department refers to fossil fuels as
God juice,
freedom molecules.
We're being led by a bunch of corporate good old boys.
Which is weird, because I thought we were draining the swamp.
No.
It seems like we drained the swamp and just put another one right on top of it.
No, we drained the swamp and filled it with piss water.
I mean, I'm just going to say... the idea that, like, remember...
yeah, but we paid for the piss water.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still paying for the piss water.
Remember 9/11 and all that bullshit when...
the inside job?
Well, no. Like, when France wouldn't do whatever, so we stopped calling things French fries and French
freedom
toast.
Fries!
And freedom fries! And freedom toast and all that bullshit.
Yeah, they wouldn't allow us to use their airspace.
Yeah.
That was well after 9/11. That was during
the war. Well, yeah, the Iraq war. But, hearing the Department of Energy actively calls fossil fuels freedom molecules. Like, that takes the idea of freedom fries and freedom toast to a whole new fucking level.
All that says to me is winning.
I just don't even...
At what?
Everything.
Okay.
Dick sucking.
Yeah, but we're the best at it.
I mean, I guess.
Or when it comes to dick sucking, there's lots of good people on both sides.
Oh my god, shut up. Oh my god.
Thank you, folks.
Wow, you ass.
Yeah, we're done.
Wow.
Wow. Well, I haven't had the opportunity to use that
one. There's a lot of good dicks on both sides.
Wow.
There's a lot of good people sucking dicks on both sides.
There's something. I'm not quite sure what, but there's
I've wanted something. To use that in reference to a glory hole, but the opportunity's never presented itself.
I wonder why.
Because I haven't set it up properly. That's on me.
Yeah.
It is.
There you have it, folks. That is, we're going to call that an episode.
Yeah, that was a crazy fucking episode. It started with me talking about a fucked up movie on Netflix, and it ended with us talking about fucked up shit we did to ourselves.
Some of it was intentional.
Yeah. Some of it.
Two fools in the somewhat unintentional self-harm.
Somewhat?
Two fools in the obstacle of scars.
Somewhat. Yeah, I would say somewhat. I mean, you watched that movie, and that seems like it scarred you a little bit.
I think two fools in the perfection works.
Yeah, it was definitely a jarring experience.
Two fools achieving perfection.
There we go. I dig that.
On both sides.
I dig that.
Fuck the NRA. But
it's ISIS for white people.
It is indeed. but at the same time, just be excellent to each other. Please. Please. We need more of that. We'll be back next time.
Deuces!
But only in a toilet, not on somebody's chest, because that's weird.
That's right.
And don't throw condoms at NRA people.
Especially if they're full of stuff, because then that's like a weird sex crime. And
yes,
it is. You don't want that on your record.
Well, it could be full of ammonia.
No, it can't.
What the fuck?
Jesus Christ.
That's not okay. That's not how you do that. Oh my God, I'm just going to stop shit now. Don't do that, people, please.